SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's get those Carver tutties, because really, at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
Indeed, at least for me, usually on most Sundays, that is all that matters, is that we get some touchdown bets across the goal line.
We all bet your tutties. It's not just good for you, Romeo. We're all making money.
It's good for me. As long as the account moves up, that's what matters here. I said to you before, I think that after a bye week, McDaniel will have the Dolphins and Snoop Huntley a little bit more prepared to get the ball in their playmakers' hands, and you're getting Tyreek Hill at a pretty good price at plus 180 because they have been very light last few games. So plus 180 for Tyreek Hill. Jaden Reed has gotten in the end zone a ton for the Packers. I expect it again at plus 125. Jameson Williams has been finding the end zone a lot, and they're still booking him over 2-1. So plus 210 for J-Mo on Sunday against the Vikings. Davante Adams, I'm sorry to do this to you, but I still think the Steelers are going to win. But you know that Rodgers is going to be an absolute pig with this guy on Sunday night when he gets him out there on the field. And it could be down 30. He's going to be looking to get this guy a touchdown, plus 150. And all the focus now, Cooper's going to be there. Oh, it's going to be Shakir, plus 320 for Josh Allen on Sunday afternoon up there at Highmark as they take on the Titans. A good price for Shakir.
So he's back. He's back.
Yeah, Shakir's playing on Sunday, yes. And now I didn't put Barkley on there because I usually don't put guys who are minus 170 on the touchdown board on a weekly basis. Even his number to score two touchdowns is like plus 350. That is just not good enough for me. I have to pass.
I agree. I'd throw Dobbs on there. He had two last week. Obviously, likes throwing to Dobbs. I like all the rest of the plays. I think Adams will have one. I think Wilson will have one. I think he'll throw at least two against the Steelers. That's my guess. I still think it's going to be a really good game. It's not like I think the Steelers are just going to shut them down. Everyone scores against the Steelers.
Everyone scores against the Steelers. Wilson will probably throw a couple. Maybe we'll finally see Pickens get in the end zone as well at that point. So there's your NFL for this week, Scotty, as we get ourselves moving now. Over to the college side, I believe you have Rich for us to start things off.
Yeah, let's hook up with our boy Rich Sermonello.
Hey, Scott, let's recap week 7 in college football. Another great weekend. Back-to-back stellar weekends, thrillers from noon until midnight. Let's begin with a heavyweight match in Eugene. Oregon, Ohio State, as good as advertised. I think fans are really enjoying this college football season, Scott, because the big games are delivering. Alabama, Georgia, Oregon, Ohio State. This weekend, we'll talk in a sec about Georgia, Texas. But Oregon got exactly what it wanted out of the portal from Dylan Gabriel. Thought he was fantastic. Will Howard over on the other side played well until that bad decision late. But Dylan Gabriel was spectacular. Accurate quarterback, veteran quarterback. Has played for UCF, played big games for Oklahoma. Really stepped up in the fourth quarter against Ohio State. Couple of things that came to mind for me. Number one, I think he should be the Heisman favorite right now. He was my preseason favorite. And I'm a little surprised that people aren't giving more NFL draft love to Dylan Gabriel. Again, veteran quarterback, accurate, poised, mobile outside the pocket, had the long touchdown run in the fourth quarter, and then the final drive to win it. So great win for Oregon. Both of these teams, by the way, firmly in the playoff hunt, firmly in the national championship hunt. They'll probably meet in Indianapolis for the Big Ten title game. Now, let's keep it in the Big Ten. Penn State, big win over USC. What are we doing with Lincoln Riley, Scott? I mean, this guy is regressing. Going back to the Oklahoma days, never could get the Sooners over the hump. Now at USC, he was supposed to be this big, massive, game-changing hire, and it hasn't happened. 11 wins year one, couldn't win the Pac-12 championship. 8-5 last year, now 3-3 in his first season of the Big Ten. And the big concern for me, after blowing another lead against Penn State, all three of those Big Ten losses were games that they were winning in the fourth quarter. They're unable to close, and Lincoln Riley, certainly not hot seat conversation here, but he's got to get things turned around in Troy. Going to turn over to week eight right now. Two quick games. Your Indiana Hoosiers in the Big Ten game of the week hosting Nebraska. I love that. I mean, the Huskers playing big football at 5-1. Indiana 6-0. How do they handle the spotlight and a tough visit from Nebraska? That's going to be a great one at 12 noon. And then the big one at night, Georgia, Texas. Georgia's got to come through. They have not played well in the past month. They have the loss to Alabama. They have to get off the mat and win this game. One quick storyline to keep in mind. Texas has faced true freshman quarterbacks in each of the last 2 weeks, have not faced a good passing game all year. Here comes Carson Beck. Going to be very interesting to see how they handle one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Great stuff, Rich. Thank you, as always. Enjoy the games tonight and this weekend, my friend. Last night at Lane Stadium, Mike, a good one. It was BC with a big third quarter. They scored 21, got down 7, and then the Hokies ran them out of the building and covered the number, and the number went over.
Yeah, quite the game of runs, right? 28 straight for Virginia Tech, 21 straight for Boston College, and then the 14 straight by the Hokies to finish it off and get the cover for that one, 42-21. And Marshall beat Georgia State 35-20 in that Sun Belt game that was going on last night as well. We have four games tonight, Friday night, under the lights in college football. ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, and the Mountain West all in action. Florida State heads to Durham to see Duke. That's 1-5 Florida State against 5-1 Duke. Duke has never beaten Florida State, Scotty. They are 2.5-point favorite. This is at 3 now for what I'm seeing. 3 points for Duke in that game. 7 o'clock East kick. Oregon laying a monstrous 30.5 against the Boilermakers in West Lafayette. BYU in Provo. And did I hear a coach say to you earlier, there's a chance for some snow tonight?
Yes.
In Provo? Did he drop that on you?
Yes.
The Cougars are 9-point favorites over the Cowboys. And then Fresno State, 3-point favorites on the road in Reno against the Wolfpack.
Well, I'm worried about the over that I bet on the BYU game. I still think BYU is going to beat Oklahoma State in Provo. They beat everybody in Provo. I'll take that 30 and a hook in West Lafayette. I think Oregon's going to be bored to death playing Purdue after playing Ohio State, and flying to West Lafayette, Indiana is like going to hell. And then I bet Duke, and I laid 3 this morning already, and I already I actually have action in the Ivy League. I have that Brown-Princeton under 50 and a hook. And then I did bet the under in that game. And then Fresno State and Nevada, you know, I kind of lean Fresno here in Reno.
30's a very big number. I feel like Oregon's not going to be very interested. I think
right.
They know they're going to win the game. Remember, didn't they play Michigan State a couple weeks ago on a Friday night at home? And it was
and they won, and they didn't cover.
Through the motions, I could see that again with you.
They won 31-10 that night.
Yeah, 31-10, 21 points they finished. I could see the similar game. We'll come back. We got the Doc coming up next, and then we'll get into the big games for Saturday after that. They are underway at Citi Field, Game 5.
Otani's already on first.
And he is single to right center for Otani as he leads the game off with a hit, and away the Dodgers go against Peterson here as they try to punch their ticket to the World Series here late afternoon in Queens.
Yeah, I mean, it is beautiful there. It's 66 and clear. It's a perfect night to get drunk at the ballpark because you're going to need to be drunk to watch your team bend over again and lose the series.
66 degrees. I mean, I'm sure that means Jeter and those guys are wearing gloves over on this.
No gloves today?
No gloves today.
They showed up as men.
Nice of them. Very nice.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody loves Fridays because they know Dr. Zhivago is going to be on. Dr. David Chow at Profootball Doc on X from Sports Injury Central. You got to get on SIC.com. It's badass. You get all the scores for guys, injuries, who's playing, who isn't. You know more than all your friends. You can win your fantasy leagues. You can hit your bets. Everybody's loving life as long as they're around Dr. Zhivago. All right, Doc. Oh, by the way, one other side note. I was told, professionally speaking, that Dr. Zhivago has been in an absolutely foul mood ever since the Padres, the Friars, were eliminated by the Dodgers. He has not been pleasant to be around. In fact, he just fixed a guy's knee and did the wrong knee. I'm just kidding. Nick Chubb is expected to play for the first time since his nasty leg injury. Do you expect him to be walked in slowly, or does he jump in the deep end?
Well, let me tell you, you're right, Scott, that I'm not even paying attention to baseball after the Padres were eliminated. That's the downside. The upside is I saved myself a lot of cash because I was having to buy a lot of tickets and playoffs and otherwise for the family and otherwise. So there is an upside. And I apologize for being late from surgery here. Look, Nick Chubb is outperforming me today because he's going to be activated, said to be questionable. He's actually expected to play. This is ahead of the timeline. Great for Nick Chubb. But this was a knee dislocation. Let's temper expectations. I don't think he's going to be the bell. I get it. Jerome has a hamstring and is out. But look, I think, you know, just being activated and playing some is a remarkable accomplishment for him.
All right, Aaron Jones practicing after the bye. Do you think he'll be good to go with that hammy? Or do they have to watch him? And will Hockenson be ready to make his return off the IR?
When he first hurt the hammy in London, it was listed as hip. And we said proximal hamstring with a chance to play after the bye. That's where he is. I think he will play, actually. He's got a good chance to play. And, you know, obviously it's a big game against the Detroit Lions. And Hockenson, you know, he's coming off the ACL. They just have to activate him. Even if he plays, he's not 100%. Aaron Jones will be closer to effective than Hockenson.
What are Harrison Jr.'s chances to clear concussion protocol?
Actually good, because it's a Monday game. He's got an extra day, and he's already been, you know, doing some practice, and we expect him to make FP, barring a setback. I think it's 80-20 that he gets cleared.
Wicks, Kraft, Watson, and Reed have all been limited for the Packers in practice this week. Which ones will be able to make catches from Love?
Well, Wicks may be the most dubious. Kraft, Reed, Watson should all be good to go. And obviously Dobbs is off that personal whatever it was and back playing Romeo Dobbs as well. And Jordan Love should be 100% now too.
Dobbs had two tutties last week. Taylor is out in Indy with the Colts, and Sermon has been all kinds of banged up. Will he be ready to carry the rock, or will they need to go further down the depth chart?
Sermon will be ready to go. Jonathan Taylor, as we've been saying, was dubious this week. Next week's the first realistic chance. This was the same high ankle sprain that sidelined him at the start of last season, so that's why it takes a little bit.
The Chargers have a long injury report. How's their team health looking going into the Monday night game? And what do you know about what they're doing with Harbaugh's heart?
Well, first of all, the Chargers are actually getting healthier and healthier. Bosa's the main guy. Obviously, Asante Samuel, their number one corner, has been out on IR. But, you know, after the Pittsburgh game a couple weeks ago, they had five first-round draft picks potentially out. You know, their quarterback is back. Both tackles are back. You know, they got Derwin James back off a suspension. They're getting healthier. As far as to their head coach is concerned, I can't say too much because of HIPAA, but he did indicate in 1999 that he had some sort of ablation procedure and something with the heart. And if you Google it, you can see where he was in 1999. And so we all know about that situation very well, but I don't know. There's not a lot I can say. However, this is not an Urban Meyer situation where he needs to retire due to stress on his heart or anything. And you know, as Jim likes to say, he's got an athlete of a heart. And who's got it better than Jim's heart, right?
Right, I'm telling you. Will Levis' question, well, are we going to see Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
You know, we may, because this is a hiding behind health. This is a coach's decision. Do you want to put out a healthy Mason Rudolph or a Will Levis who can play but still has that AC joint a little bit? This is an easy hiding behind health to let the veteran play behind the young guy, but ahead of the young guy without officially benching him.
Will Etienne be able to go in London for the Jags Sunday?
I think it's going to be Tank Bigsby. I get he's questionable. Obviously, he's in London because he made the trip for the previous game. They stayed over, so there was no travel component. But I think Etienne may be out this week, and it may be Tank Bigsby.
Is Crosby hurt, or are they about to trade him in Vegas?
Well, I don't know anything about to trade him or not. Tom Telesco's awesome. He's a GM that I know very well. But Crosby is legitimately hurt. He was hurt early this season before any of this Raiders kerfluffle and Devontae Adams trade. So I'll stand behind Max Crosby that he has all season been playing through a high ankle sprain. He has been and is hurt, but has been playing through. And I don't think it has anything to do with the Raiders situation, wins or losses.
The Shaheed knee surgery, how significant was it? He's done for the year.
Yeah, it was a repair like J.J. McCarthy of the Vikings, their quarterback, their rookie quarterback. And repairs take multiple months, 3-4 months minimum, because you have to wait for healing. So he's out for the season for sure.
Real quick, Paul George hyperextended his knee. Kawhi is now having knee problems again. Do you think Kawhi Leonard is done?
Well, he'll come back when he wants to, but I always joke around. Right now, the start of the regular season in the NBA is kind of treated like preseason by a lot of vets. So, you know, he missed some, quote, preseason games. Kawhi usually comes back, but on his timetable, and Leonard hyperextended his knee, but shouldn't have structural damage.
All right, I mean, Paul George. Paul George. Dr. David Chow in San Diego. Have a great weekend, doctor. Thank you.
Thank you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's go to all these big college football games on Saturday. By the way, the Mets have two on, one out. Vientos flew to left. Alonzo's up, no score, bottom one, Citi Field. Again, they got guys on base and can't drive them in.
And the Dodgers couldn't either, actually, in the top of the first. They had second and third, nobody out, and they could not get a run home. So we'll see if the Mets can actually have a lead since game two, which they have not been able to do. All right, I don't have time for all of the coaches I was going to play you for college.
There's a drive. He did it.
Did he get it?
A three-run shot.
Let's go. Alonzo gets one here, so now I'm going to finally see it. Man, did he get that? Wow.
He got it. What was even better was when you said, can this pig finally get a home run? And he did it.
There it is. Three-run shot for Alonzo. Man, that didn't look like it had it coming off the bat, right? Like, he kind of golfed that down from the bottom.
The bag. They got it in the bag.
They're back. They're back,
baby. Going to win three straight, automatic. They're the automatic. Never say die Mets.
Never say die. Like I was saying, I don't have time for all the coaches, but there's no way I'm going to turn away Kurt Cignetti on a huge Indiana Friday as they get ready to take on Nebraska. Big noon kickoff for the Hoosiers and the Cornhuskers. Here's Cignetti talking about how he's been changing the culture at Indiana.
Well, the first thing you got to do as a leader, you got to change the way people think inside and outside the program. And then you got to have a blueprint and a plan. You got to have high standards for everything you do. High standards, expectations, and accountability, and consistency, day in, day out. How you do something's how you do everything. And you have to be fully committed to being the best you can be. Be a great team guy. Those are non-negotiable, you know. Be early, do your best. Improve as much as you can every single day.
There you go. I hope they get it done here on Saturday afternoon. They are 6.5-point favorites. The total's 49.5 now. I love this over. I think that they will get through that number.
Let's get it done. I am worried about Raiola with that high number of 6.5, but I'm going to take a stab at it with the Hurry and Hoosiers. Can they get it done by a tutty or more? Why not? They've kicked everyone else's ass they've played, and they're at home on Fox. This is a big-time game for the program to be on the Game of the Week on Fox, kicking it off at noon, at home in Bloomington. Let's get involved with the Hoosiers.
Indeed. By the way, Indiana, one of two teams left in college football that has not trailed at all this year. Six games in, Indiana and Army are the only two teams that have not trailed at all in their games. Next, also a noon East kickoff in Louisville between Miami and the Cardinal. Of course, Miami coming back off a bye after a couple crazy wins over Va Tech and California. The number now, this was 4.5 the other day, right? I think it was 4.5. Now it's gone to 5. Total 60.5.
I got the Canes. They got to get it done in Louisville. Give me the Canes to keep it going. Stay undefeated. Keep their ranking. They got to show up, though. It's not going to be easy. Louisville's tough at 4-2, so I think they definitely have their work cut out for them. I think what was the final number you said? It's
gone to 5 now, actually, this afternoon. So now the Canes are -5. It was 4.5 most of the week,
yeah,
and the total's
scary.
At 60.5.
I think they went in and don't cover, to be honest with you. I think that every game they've played that's been a big game, the Vodtech game, the Cal game, have been by a point or two. Very scary outcomes. I think the same thing here. I don't think they cover a 5 spot. If they win this game, they win by 2 or 3.
Alabama visits Tennessee, one of the two huge SEC games this week. Alabama -3, 56.5 is the total. Both teams 5-1.
I'm going to go Bama here and lay the 3. I think they beat Tennessee in Knoxville. I think they're flat out better. I think they both have issues. I think Alabama has less issues.
We will come back and talk about the biggest game of the week, Georgia visiting Austin against the Longhorns. We'll hear from Sark, and then I'll give you all the racks. Mets still batting here. Marte's on second with Taylor up. See if they can get some more.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So McNeil's in the lineup. He just flew out to left to end the inning and the threat. 3-0 Mets going to the second at Citi Field. All right. What is Sarkisian saying heading into this big game at Memorial in Austin against Georgia?
A huge game, of course. This one's been circled on the calendar for a while here with Texas now in the SEC. And that is Steve Sarkisian doing what most coaches do, Scotty. They're going to downplay it. We're going to treat things just like any other week. Here he is.
The messaging stays very consistent on a lot of the things that we talk about because I think the players appreciate consistency. If they know that I'm consistent with what I'm doing, then and when I'm asking them to be consistent of what they do week in and week out, it's a little easier if I'm embodying the same things. The appeal is this is always, you love those games that if you want to call them the measuring stick or kind of a barometer for where you at what juncture of the season against the really good team. And a team that has been in national championship games, conference championship games, has won games at a really high level, and a head coach who's done it at the highest level. That's the fun part.
Here.
You know, it's like, okay, let's see if what we do on a regular basis is good enough. And that's what we can find out.
Honestly, that was a funeral.
4.5 for Texas now. Under the lights in Austin, 57.5 total. This has gone up from this morning.
Yeah, the way I've seen Georgia struggle against everybody, I'm not putting any stock in them. I know Beck's a badass. I know they're good. I don't think they're great like everybody else does this year. I think they've been fair to Midland. I mean, I think they're obviously they're a good team. I don't think they're on Texas's level. I really don't. Not there, not in Austin, not in Memorial, not under the lights. Not in prime time. Texas has owned them in the past. And this is a loaded team with talent, speed, quarterback, defense. Their defense allows 6 points a game. That's the difference for me. I think Georgia's going to have trouble against that defense. I'm going to hang my hat on Texas.
I think I'm going with Texas as well. The number's a little scary to me, but I think the number's also telling. I think the number tells you that they think Texas is better than them, and a lot better than them. So I'm going to go with you. I'm going to ride with the Longhorns and Sark and hope that Quinn Ewers can get it done there at home under the lights in Austin. All right, let's get the racks in here for this weekend. Virginia visiting Clemson. That's an early noon kick. You have that one. Clemson, of course, laying almost three tutties against the Cavaliers. Auburn visits Mizzou in Columbia, -3.5 for the Tigers. Army undefeated, laying 16.5 at home against East Carolina. Illinois has Michigan coming to town. Michigan road favorite, -3.5. And then Navy also undefeated, also a big number, with Biff Pogge and Charlotte coming calling.
Yeah, look, I think Army and Navy both win and both cover. Okay, I got a friend going to the game at West Point. It's going to be a beautiful day up there. It's the greatest spot ever on the river and in the woods with the leaves and the foliage. I think they both stay undefeated and they both cover. I think Virginia covers 20 and a hook at Clemson. Believe it or not, Virginia's better than people think they are. They're 4-2. Clemson's really good. Clemson wins, doesn't cover. Missouri covers at Columbia. I think Michigan goes to Champaign and wins that game and covers. I think Michigan, I think a lot of people are betting Illinois. Illinois usually never beats Michigan. Okay, so I'm going to go with the Wolverines with a stunner on the road.
We'll start this second rack with some info on one of the games, and that is that Georgia Tech quarterback Haynes King out, not going to play against the Irish with an upper body injury. That means journeyman Zach Pyron. You could say journeyman now in college football because they hang around for so long and move around so much. Zach Pyron will start for the Jackets. So this number, Scotty, has changed to where we saw 11.5 early in the week, bet down to 9.5. Now with the news today, up to 13.5 for the Irish. And as you mentioned, this is at the Benz that they're playing Georgia Tech. So they're playing in the big stadium. Colorado's going to Arizona. Arizona -2.5. Texas A&M to Starkville, -17.5 on the road. LSU, -2.5 on the road in Fayetteville against the Hogs. And Iowa State, who many feel are the favorites in the Big 12 now, laying almost two tutties to UCF.
Yeah, look, I think Notre Dame wins in Atlanta. I don't think they cover that big piece, though. I think the guy has played in a lot of games, Pyron, over the last few years. He's experienced. No one knows who he is, but Georgia Tech knows who he is. They know what he can do, and people know that he's played. He's played in games. I think he can handle the wood, not win the game. I thought Georgia Tech yesterday, I said, would upset him. I thought Haynes King was playing, right? I thought Georgia Tech would upset Notre Dame in Atlanta. Now, I don't think that's happening, but I think they can still cover. I like Colorado to win in Tucson, believe it or not. I think Arizona, I watched them play against BYU. They stink this year. A&M wins at Stark Vegas but does not cover the number. LSU does cover at Fayetteville and beats the Hogs. And I'm inclined to take that 13.5 with Central Florida in Ames. I think the Cyclones win the game but do not cover the piece.
Last rack for you here, some of the night games. Kansas State to Morgantown against the Mountaineers, short favorite on the road, 2.5. Kentucky into the swamp against Florida. Stoops could use a win after losing to Vanderbilt. -1.5 for them on the road. SMU heads to Palo Alto, where they are 15.5-point favorites against the Tree. UNLV laying almost a tutty on the road in Corvallis against the Beavers. And TCU into Utah. Rice Eccles with the Utes -3.5.
Yeah, look, my initial thought is, well, Utah is going to win that game. I don't care who's playing quarterback. Rising's done. Doesn't matter. Utes are going to beat TCU. They're awful this year. I'm inclined to take a shot with UNLV in Corvallis. SMU wins but doesn't cover in Palo Alto. I like Florida to upset Kentucky at the Swamp. I thought they played really well against Tennessee. Should have won the game. Didn't. They'll turn around and win this week. And people are going to start calling for Stoops' head in Lexington. And I think K-State beats West Virginia easily in Morgantown by 7 to 10 points.
There you go. Some of the biggest ones for this week. Of course, there's lots of other games. I know you're probably involved in several of them. That we have a very big college football slate that we're going to have coming up on Saturday. All right, I always give you the most popular in college and the NFL. Here's what I have for you with this. The most popular pick this week at the window is Colorado. 82% are on the Buffaloes in Arizona. SMU, Iowa State, Army, Kansas State, Miami, Purdue, and BYU, the most popular plays in college this week.
I'm gonna take that Beaver game and take those points. I think UNLV can win there, but I don't think they're covering the 6.5. The Beavers are better than, you know, they remind me of, they're 4-2. They're like Virginia. They're not bad. And they're at home in Corvallis. So I'm going to take those points against UNLV. So, look, all these games, you know, I'm on, you know, I don't think Miami covers the number. I took that Purdue. I did the BYU. I did the Army. I don't think Iowa State's going to cover. I think they're going to win. I don't think SMU is going to cover. And I told you I like Colorado to win outright.
There you go. College football going to be a huge weekend for us here. Pitt is going to hire Tennessee's Allen Green as their athletic director. So there's that wild pitch here from Peterson. Gets a run in. So 3-1, Mets lead the Dodgers top of the second at Citi Field. Now a man on second and two out for Ohtani.
Yeah, look, I think Alvarez has been terrible in this series, both behind the dish and with the bat, even worse.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's bring Brian Ciano in, a.k.a. Mafia, the host of all the combat sports today on Sports Grid. And Saturday, there is a PFL super fight deal going on, the Battle of the Giants pay-per-view, and he's all over it. Now, let's start with this. All right, so the whole broadcast is at 4 Eastern on ESPN Plus pay-per-view from Saudi Arabia. So just so you know that, the super fights. And I want to begin with Ngannou. He's back in the octagon where many believe he belongs. MMA, that's what he's great at. He went and boxed, and he certainly had his problems there.
Yeah, he did, Scott. I mean, obviously that first one, he had that, you know, decision loss to Tyson Fury, which people kind of got caught off guard. Some people thought he might even won it, and that Fury kind of got given that one. So he got a little confidence, said, okay, well, now I'm going to go and Anthony Joshua, and then got dropped in the second round. So it's been, I think, 3 years since we saw him fight Ciryl Gane in his last MMA fight, you know, winning that UFC title. Now he's come back. You know, he had those two fights of boxing, which he took time to train for, had some time off, too, because, you know, unfortunately lost his 15-month-old son. You know, you love the name after Kobe. His son that was took him to the hospital twice, once in Cameroon, once in Saudi Arabia, had some malform on the brain that they didn't diagnose and unfortunately ended up dying earlier this year right after that Joshua fight. So he thought about quitting. He thought about hanging it up, but he decided that he didn't want that to be the reason he stopped. And he's coming back here. This is his first fight in MMA, first fight for the PFL off that mega contract he signed against Ferreira, their champion. This guy who, you know, people remember him a couple of years ago when he lost to Verdum. Well, he actually got the win against Verdum, but it was returned to a no contest because the guy tapped out. and the ref didn't see it and let it go, and then later on ended up knocking out Verdum. But now he's 13-3, won his last four. He is the champion, the PFL, and Nagano's going to come in here in his first fight and see if he can take that belt and get back to his ways as the Predator.
I mean, honestly, now I'll give you this. You talk about Ferreira, how he won, if he won at all, and then he's been winning ever since. But who is he fighting? Now he's fighting this monster, and I know nothing, but I do know that that guy's going to kill him. That's what's going to happen.
The odds definitely shade that way. I mean, minus 325 for Nagano. His last fight was against Bader. They had that, the Bellator PFL champions versus each other after the two companies merged. But obviously we know Ryan Bader is really a light heavyweight that's just messing around at heavyweight, because they want to cut weight the last couple of years. So this guy's 6'8", huge. One of the bigger guys that Nagano's ever going to fight. But I'm with you. He has not fought that level of competition. I know some experts are picking him to get the upset. I'm not doing it. I like Nagano. That's too rich for my blood, though. So I'm going to try over 1.5 rounds at plus 172 because we saw him against Gon use that grappling that we never saw before and just dominate him for 5 rounds with that. I think, his first fight back in a couple of years, we use that. We see him take him to the ground a little bit, avoid those big shots. I also think that for me that it's going to end a lot. They think he's going to by KO. If you want to splash it for points, you can. I'm going to say that it ends in either 2 or 3. These are two heavyweights, two guys that like to go for the finish. I think it ends in 2 or 3 plus 260. And, we can hit the plus 172 on the over 1.5 and take all that edge or take a little extra juice and say it ends in those middle rounds there.
All right, so let's move on to the chick featherweight fight with Cyborg, Chris Cyborg, back at it.
Yeah, you want to talk about legends. There is no one better probably in the women's division ever. Maybe you talk about Amanda Nunes because she did beat Cyborg when she had that brief run in the UFC. But Cyborg, the 39-year-old, is 27-2. Her only loss in MMA is to Amanda Nunes. Pacheco's tough. She's only 30, although she's had 27 pro fights. People might remember her from her run-ins with Kayla Harrison when she was in the PFL. She lost those first two, got revenge in the last one before Harrison left the PFL, and now has won her last 10 fights in a row over the last couple of years. So she's been on a roll, but again, not fighting the level of Chris Cyborg. Cyborg is actually an underdog in this one, if you can believe it. Plus 116, I'm sorry. You're going to give me plus money with the baddest women to ever step in the cage. I'm going to take it for sure. And you can even get her a KO, TKO to win by that at plus 240. I mean, there's no way that you're going to be plus money with Chris Cyborg, and I'm not going to take that shot.
Honestly, she is going to kill this chick. I mean, she is the devil. You don't mess with this chick. She can beat up men. All right, what about the middleweight fight with Johnny Eblen and Fabian Edwards? They've fought before.
Yeah, they both had one fight before after their first fight that they fought for Eblen's title. Eblen is the Bellator middleweight champion. And it was an interesting fight, very cautious. Both guys kind of using a lot of kicks, not a ton of punches through the first two rounds. Eblen was a big wrestler. He was trying to take Edwards out. Edwards did good to fight those takedowns. Obviously, the experience of being Leon Edwards' brother, he has high-level training partners. But then all of a sudden, the third round, Eblen catches him with a nice right that drops him, jumps on him, and finishes him off. I don't see it going the same way. I see it that Eblen wins it, and the book does too. Minus 400 favorite, and that's dropped down from where it was. It was like minus 650 to start. People are taking a shot on Edwards. I'm not. I'm going with the champ in Eblen. I think he wins it again. But this time, I think it goes back to where both these guys are more comfortable. Long-distance fight, going the distance, where it's going to end in points on minus 115 either way. If you look at the total rounds, it's set at 4.5. So obviously, the book thinks this is going far as well. You could also get a little bit less money that you're laying out there if you're going to go Eblen in 4 or 5 or by decision at minus 110.
That sounds like a really good fight then if it goes 4 and 5, better than the other ones. Let's move on to the last one that you're going to be betting on, which is the McKee-Hughes fight.
Yeah, AJ McKee, a guy that we've known had on this show before at his time in Bellator, former champion down in featherweight. He's fighting Paul Hughes, who's a tough guy, this Irish fighter. He's got 12-1 for his career record. But again, it's who have you fought? You have not fought the level of AJ McKee. And it's a short line for AJ McKee, minus 176. I talked to Ian Parker, who does a lot of the betting on PFL. You see him on other networks. He thinks it should be 3-1, and it's only minus 176. I'll take that. If you really don't like laying the juice, you want a different way in order to get some better money value, then you go McKee by points for me at plus 155. But even at 176, you're getting value because it should be 3-1, maybe 4-1, because Hughes has not fought anyone on the level of AJ McKee.
All right, so again, it all starts at 4 o'clock in Saudi Arabia on Saturday.
4 o'clock Eastern, because it's going to be on Saudi time, so it's going to be nighttime there, but 4 o'clock Eastern here. In the U.S. here, it's ESPN pay-per-view. Other areas, it's his own, so make sure you check it out. It should be badass.
All right, the combat king himself, Brian Ciano. Great job, Mafia. Enjoy the fights.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody loves leftovers.
Everybody does love leftovers. Of course, if you remember yesterday, we gave you that story about Tony Bennett retiring as the head coach of the Virginia Cavaliers. Here he is this morning at his press conference, guy. It's not got nothing to do with health. It's got to do with the state of college athletics.
You know, this game, I think it's right for players, student athletes, to receive revenue. Please don't mistake me. I do. I think it is. But the game and college athletics is not in a healthy spot. It's not. And there needs to be change. And it's not going to go back. I think I was equipped to do the job here the old way. And that's who I am. And that's how it was. And my staff has buoyed me along to get to this point. But there needs to be change. It's going to be closer to a professional model, Coach Carlisle. I think it is, where there's got to be collective bargaining. There has to be a restriction on the salary pool that teams can spend. There has to be transfer regulation restrictions. There has to be some limits on the agent involvement to these young guys. And there are good agents and there are bad agents, and they're driving some of this stuff that we're in. And I worry a lot about the mental health of the student athletes as all this stuff comes down. And it's sometimes when you're in it, you have to step away, and maybe I can be an advocate for the student athletes and the coaches to get the changes.
You know, that was so unbelievably poignant. And I thought he made a lot of fresh comments that need to be heard. And I think what he's doing is brave, that he's walking away from the bull shack that college sports has become, with the haves and have nots and agents and paying these kids millions, and some get all this money and others get nothing. I think it's a joke. I think it's ruining college athletics, and so does he. That's why he walked away. I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either, and I think others have. He's just the first one to admit that's why. I think other guys have done it too. Saban, I think that's the same reason Chip Kelly left UCLA. He just wanted to go coach, and he went to go be an offensive coordinator. They don't want to deal with the nonsense that what college athletics have become now. The Penguins are going to start rookie Joel Blomquist tonight. That's because Tristan Jarry has been awful, horrible so far for them. Here's tonight's games. That game will be Hockey Night in Pittsburgh at the PPG right now. Carolina and the Penguins at the PPG. Carolina, the road favorite tonight. You also have San Jose, Winnipeg, Anaheim, Colorado this evening.
Yeah, I kind of like the Canes to go in and beat the Penguins tonight. I like the Jets at home. I like the Avs at home. The Avs haven't won a game, but they will tonight. They'll beat the Ducks at the ball.
Yeah, the Ducks stink. Last night, Dalton Knecht with 35 points for the Lakers on 8 threes. He scored 20 straight points for them at one point. Everybody can go to the window with all their fancy Bronny tickets, Scotty. Yeah. This is the guy on the Lakers who's going to matter out of that draft.
He's
That's
a great player, and no one cares about him at all. All they care about is Bronny James and making sure that LeBron is happy. Bronny's just terrible.
And finally, the Liberty can win the WNBA championship tonight in Minnesota against the Lynx. They are 2.5-point road favorites.
I hope they win, but I don't think they will. You can get the Lynx at plus 125 to win game four. Remember, they were up 15 and blew the game. Game one, Liberty were up 18, blew the game. Game two, they won. Game three, they were down 15 and won. Now, I say the Lynx don't blow the lead and win and force a game five back in Brooklyn at the Barclays, which would make the WNBA finals fantastic. It goes the limit. You can get them at plus 125 at the Target tonight. I think I'll take a flyer on the Lynx. I hit the Lynx the other night with 3.5. The spread was 3.5 in game three. This is game four tonight. Here's the Ferrella finish. Jay Cutler's mugshot looked fantastic today after being arrested for DUI and gun possession in Tennessee. My man looked all kinds of strung out. OHL cooperates with a sexual assault investigation in Toronto against 8 former players. What is with the constant sex abuse scandals in hockey? I mean, what is going on in hockey? I mean, every time you turn around, somebody's getting raped. Dennis Eckersley's daughter avoids jail after she abandoned her baby in sub-zero temperature in the woods. She gets off. I don't, just explain that to me. How do you leave a baby in the woods and you get off on it? Like, no, nothing happened to her. That's amazing to me. Nice job by the judge there. Man found hanging from a tree inside a New York City park after his troubling text to his roommates. Yeah, like, he killed himself. He hung himself in the park. Things weren't going well. GTD is next. Go to PharrellOnTheBench.com. Have a great week, and we'll see you Monday at 3 on Coast to Coast.